Blog Talk Radio.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. I deliver it from my enemy. Till all my fear has come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Good evening, everybody. This is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm Evangelist Prophet Edward Eberle. I'm your host. I'm the host of my program, God's Hour of Truth. You know, I was thinking about that before I come on the air, God's Hour of Truth. And, you know, there's a double meaning that I've had for that name. God gave us that name. And there's a double meaning for that. First of all, it's God's truth. It's God's truth, what we're ministering. But God's Hour of Truth shows that it's the hour of God's truth. Truth for this hour. It's prophetical for what God has for us this hour. So it's God's truth for this hour. And a lot of times the program lasts usually about an hour in length. It's usually about an hour in length or maybe a little longer. But that's the meaning of it. God's truth for this hour. Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody here in the United States and around the world. There's many countries that are listening in right now. I just got a report today from Evangelist Montel, and she showed me some things where it's all many, many countries. So there's a lot of listeners here. And something I felt impressed to say this evening, the message that I have tonight is called Fear Not. And I want the listeners tonight to determine, before we even get into the program tonight or anything, determine that you're not going to allow fear to dominate your life anymore. God wants to set you free from the spirit of fear tonight. I'm not saying fear won't ever try to come upon you again, but you know, it's like the birds. We can't keep the birds from flying over our head, but we can stop them from landing in our head. So I want you to make up your mind that you're not going to leave fear dominate you anymore from this night forth. Make that commitment to God, because we're going to learn tonight what all fear, how it really hurts us. So it's very important, but I was impressed with the Lord to say that to you today. And I want to share that with you tonight. So determine that you will not fear anymore. In fact, the scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. So we know where fear comes from. That comes from the devil, and we have no part in the devil. The devil has no part in us, and we have authority over him. We have authority over the devil. We just kick him out of our lives and don't accept anything he tries to bring our way. Amen? Okay, so again, I'd like to welcome everybody and just open your minds and your hearts tonight for this time that we're sharing. And allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, because that's what this program's all about. That's what Reaching Out Radio International is all about, for the Spirit of God to move in your life, to bring you to Jesus, to educate you in the things of Jesus, and to help you grow in Jesus, and to receive of the Lord and be what you've been called to be, because you have a calling on your life, no matter what it is. Every individual has a calling, and God has something for you. You're not just one of the people. You have a calling on your life. You're unique. There's nobody else like you. You're unique. God has a plan for your life. You weren't made by accident, but God made you with purpose, and he wants to do something in your life. Amen? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God just to bless this service tonight, this message tonight, okay, to minister to us. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you. We just want to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, as we come before you, we recognize that we can do nothing in ourselves. There's nothing in us except for you. You tell us that you are inside us, that the greater one's in us, the greater one is within us. And you are the greater one, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you're within us. And Lord, I would just ask you tonight to move in this message, Father, in all of our hearts, to open the hearts, open the ears, and Lord, speak the words out of my mouth that you would have me to say, Lord, not words that I would say or words that I would think, but Lord, I want this message to be your message, not mine, because I realize if it's my message, it'll come to naught, but if it's your message, it'll be purposeful, because you said your word does not come back void, but it goes forth to bring forth the purpose that you've intended to do. So, Father, we are believing now, the people that are listening to my voice right now over this airwave, we are believing and we're agreeing that you're going to move in a mighty way tonight in this program, this broadcast, in Jesus' name. And for all that happens, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise for us. In Jesus' name we ask. And they all said, amen and amen. Okay. Fear not, fear not. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said these words, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Many times, you know, Jesus said, fear not, don't fear, fear not, because he knew that was going to be a problem for each one of us. We've all had that problem. Every person that ever lived had that problem other than the Lord himself. But he knew that would be a problem, but he told us, he said, fear not, because he said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, we're going to learn in a minute what the kingdom of God is, but the kingdom really is everything that God has to give us. He's given us the kingdom. So therefore, he says, children, don't be fearful. I've given you everything, and I give you everything. There's nothing to fear about, because you have everything you have need of in this life and the life to come. He said in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, that he's given us everything for godliness in this life and also for what lies ahead. He's given us all provisions, he said, for everything pertaining to this life and for life everlasting. So he's given everything to us through his son Jesus when Jesus died on the cross. First of all, we accepted Christ as our Savior, and he gave us everlasting life, a home in heaven, because we were all headed to hell before we received Jesus as our Savior. And if we don't have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will go to hell. So the key is receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins, asking the Lord to forgive us, to come into our heart, take over our life, and save us, and then accepting that and just saying, Lord, I want to live for you. Just take over my life. I realize I can't do anything in my life. It's all you. And we do that, then we're eligible for everything that God has for us, you see. He's given us everything. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, little children, he said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, in Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness is right standing, being right before the Lord. You see, when the Lord looks, we'll use myself as an example. This would go for anybody, but when the Lord looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus, because I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus saved me, you see. So Jesus is my Savior. So he sees Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, Jesus tells the Father that I saved him. I saved Ed. He said, I've saved Ed Eberle. I have saved him. And he stands for me. He's my advocate, you see. He's the one that makes me right before God. He made me right before God when I received him as Lord and Savior, you see. I passed from death unto life. So therefore, he doesn't see me in my imperfections. He sees Jesus. So therefore, I'm able to go to heaven. So we're in right standing with the Father because of Jesus. And Jesus is in us, and he's with us, and he's through us, you see. Jesus is with us. Now, the second thing is peace. Well, what I just said should give you peace, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So Jesus is in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you should have peace no matter what you face, because he's given us his word to meet every need that we have or any problem that comes our way. Any challenge that we have, we take his word and we accept his word by faith. And we should not fear. We should have peace about it, because he's given us everything. As I read just a minute ago, he's given us everything. And joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where our strength comes from. God gives us a joy that in spite of what we're facing in our lives, we have a joy that our mind will even say, what in the world are you so joyful and so happy about? Look what's facing you. Look what you're going through. What your experiences. Look at your circumstances. But that's your mind, you see, it tries to say that. But in your heart, your spirit, man, you have that joy, and that overrides the circumstances and what your thoughts and mind is. And I'll tell you this. When you have the joy of the Lord and you believe God's word, those circumstances will change, you see. It's a dwelling on circumstances in our mind and allowing it to weigh us down and cause us to be fearful and walk in fear and disturbed and double-minded and everything like that, that just messes us up. We can't sleep at night. We're tormented. We're not happy. We have a growl on our face there. We frown. There's just no happiness or joy in us. But he given us righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because he's given us everything. So these are Jesus' words as we even start. I'm just kind of laying the foundation down before I get into the word here about some things here, just what fear is and how to deal with it. But fear has no place in you. As I said, this is your night to get rid of fear. You're not going to leave fear dominate you anymore in Jesus' name. God didn't give you that spirit, but the devil tried to do it, and we're just going to kick him out of our lives from this night forward in Jesus' name. Okay, what is fear? Okay, fear, you know, is a choice. It's a choice that we can receive fear or we can choose faith. Fear is listening to the words of the devil. Faith is listening to the words of God, you see. So which one do we choose to listen to? When we step out in faith or go to believe God's word for something, then the doubt tries to come into our mind and tries to take us away from that word. You see, the enemy tries to steal that word from us, just like in the parable of the sower. But you see, that's fear coming in. So right there, we have a choice. Are we going to believe God's word and God is telling us the truth is going to happen God's way? Or are we going to listen to the words of the devil of fear to try to discourage and say, just forget about that thing, it's not going to work, you lost? You see, we have a choice. And it begins in the mind, that choice, you see. Everything begins in the mind. And that's why he tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we're to check everything in our mind, and then we're to cast everything out that doesn't come into what the Word of God says. We're to cast down those things and bring it into captivity into Jesus Christ. So what comes in your mind, you have to think, well, what is this? If it's speaking something negative, like you're going to fail, you're going to be sick, you're going to lose your home, you're going to go bankrupt, any negative stuff that comes to your mind, you need to cast those things down in the name of Jesus, because there are things that come to your mind which are fear words, you see, and the spirit of Satan, Satan's forces and darkness is coming into your mind to try to disturb you. And that's why he says, casting down all imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought unto Jesus, you see. Those thoughts that come into your mind, you have to evaluate them, you see. And then when you do that, you cast them down, then you're going back to faith in God's word, you see. Now, God's word is faith. Satan's word is fear. We have to remember that. Anything that's bringing you down is always Satan. Anything that lifts you up is God, you see. So we have to learn the voice of God. We have to learn the word of God and know our enemy, know his little tricks. Because the devil doesn't have any new tricks. He tries the same old thing, you see. So we have to recognize that. And when we do that, then we're going to be on guard for him. We're going to be ready for action because we're soldiers and we have to be ready to battle, right? Next thing, what causes fear? Well, the first thing that really causes fear is when you and I put ourselves in the equation of something, and we're, like the Lord tells us to do something, has us do something, and then we consider our own ability to accomplish it. And when we do this, we're considering our own wisdom and our own strength. And right away, naturally, we know we can't do it. So therefore, fear would come in for failure. We're fearing a failure, which we would fail if we try to put ourselves in the equation for the things of God. We have to recognize the way we live our life is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by our own wisdom or ability. If we were living on our own strength, we'd all be hopeless. You see, I'm stronger than the devil. Not because of me, not in myself, I'm not. But through the Lord in my life, the Lord through me is more powerful than the devil, because the greater one's in me, so the devil's no match for me. But if I didn't have Jesus within me, I'm no match for the devil. So you have to recognize, get yourself out of that equation and practice the presence of Jesus Christ within you. He's in you. He's in you. You got to have a mindset on that Jesus is in me, so therefore the devil can't hurt me. Jesus is protecting me. He's watching over me. I'm believing his word. He's my savior. He's my master. He's my guardian. He's the one that provides for me. He protects me. We have to learn to do that, because that gives you peace there and comfort, you see. Now, the causes of what we said was what causes fear. Well, first of all, lack of knowledge. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is really our fault, because so many times Christians fail to get into the Word for themselves and ask the Holy Spirit to show them what he's telling to them, what he wants to tell them. They'll listen or want to listen to a certain minister, their pastor or somebody, and they feed off of that, and that's where they get their information, but that's the wrong way to go. Don't depend on a man for your information on things. You need to get into the Word yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, because in that Word is where you get the pure truth when the Holy Spirit gives it to you. Some man can speak the wrong things that aren't true, and if you don't know the Word of God, you're going to accept them. That's a danger. And if you don't know the Word of God for yourself and have it in your heart, and you only believe something because so-and-so said it, that's where we mess up. We have to recognize that we cannot build what we believe on what a person says, because if you don't have it within your own heart, when the trial or the test comes, you won't stand, because you'll say, well, so-and-so preached it, and he's a great man of God, but that isn't going to help you to believe it because you don't have it within your heart. You're not going to be like Paul. He said, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded to keep that which he committed unto me against that day. I know whom I believe. You need to be able to say, I know this, because you had that visitation of the Holy Spirit in your heart about that word, not so-and-so preached it or so-and-so said it. You must know in your heart, and the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the knower. He puts it in your knower right there. He engraves it in your spirit, man. He writes it on the table of your heart, and he's the only one that can do that. You see, we can't do that. I can't do that to you. Nobody else can do that. It must be by the Holy Spirit, because that's why when I pray, Lord, give me the words to say, because my words are not going to do anything for you, but when they're backed up by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then they're going to mean something to you. And that's the only thing that means anything to us, is God's words through the Holy Spirit. So we establish the lack of knowledge is one reason that we have a problem with fear. Fear comes in because we don't know any better. We're helpless. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to deal with it. The second thing is disobedience. When God tells you to do something, when you disobey Him, then that gets you in a bad relationship with the Lord, and you're kind of out there on your own, you see. And when disobedience is there, you have all types of attacks and things that the enemy comes at you, and you don't sense anything of the Lord, because you have there's something between you and the Lord. And disobedience will cause that, because God leads you a certain way. He tells you to do something, and when you disobey Him, the thing that He told you to do could be the very thing that you needed help with. In fact, it always is that way, because God knows what you need. And the worst thing that you and I can do is disobey when He tells us to do something. Because remember, that thing He tells us to do is going to take us into something that we've prayed for years. It might be our major breakthrough, what He's leading us to. Or maybe it's something that's going to save our life. Maybe it's something that's going to save somebody else's life. So we have to recognize it's a dangerous thing to disobey God, even though we don't understand why He said do this or why He said to do that. Because His ways and thoughts are not ours, but they're above ours, according to the book of Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. His ways and thoughts aren't ours, so get your human reasonings out of the picture. Get yourself out of the picture there, because you don't know, and also not only you don't know, but it's not even for you to know except by revelation from the Holy Spirit. You can't know anything of God except through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can know these things, so that's why you can't use your human reasoning. So don't disobey God because you can't figure it out, because something I have learned over the years, anytime I tried to figure out the things of God or how God was going to do this or how He was going to do that, I made it 100% wrong. Because, like I said, His ways aren't ours. His thoughts aren't ours. They're above. So why do you try to figure it out? Because His ways aren't yours and His thoughts are above them. So how in the world can you figure it out? See, we're foolish right there when we try to do those things. The third thing that causes fear is simply unbelief. Allowing the fear, unbelief, doubt, double-mindedness come into your life and saying, God, you said this, but I just can't quite believe you, God. I know you're the creator of everything. You did everything. You know everything. You are God. But I don't know if I can trust you on this, but I don't know if you're trustworthy. That's really what we're saying when we doubt the word of God. We're not trusting God. How would you feel if somebody would say to you, and you'd tell them something, you'd say, well, hey, I want to buy something from you. Can I take it with me now, and I'll give you $50 in 3 days. You'd buy something from me and say, I'll give you $50 for it, but it's going to be payday 3 days from now. And if they ask you that and they say, well, I would do it, but I just don't trust you, that would be insulting, wouldn't it? And really, we insult God like that, even though we're not talking to Him at the time, like you'd be talking to that person face to face. But yet when you act like that and you don't believe His word, that's what you're focusing to Him. That's what you're showing Him, that, hey, Lord, I just don't believe you. I don't believe it. I can't believe it because I can't figure it out. I'm smarter than you are, God. I can't figure out how in the world it's going to work. So if I can't figure it out, God, it mustn't be able to work. Well, I kind of believe that God's a little smarter than we are, right? So you see how foolish we are many times in our unbelief and things that we do. See how crazy it is, how stupid it is. I know it's a laughable thing, some of the things I said to you, but it's a very serious thing, but that's how ridiculous it is. Our very God, you know, saying those things to him, and our actions speak louder than our words, because our actions shows where we are and where we're standing with God. So we need to recognize that God is God. When he tells you something, you can take it to the bank. You have to realize that. You must believe that, because this is a season and a time God's going to ask us to do things that requires faith. But just remember, it's not going to be you that makes it happen. It's going to be God through you. It's not your problem. It's his problem, even though you're reaching out there to do it. Just like Peter, when Peter walked on water, I love to use that example. When he walked that water, no, he knew he couldn't do it. But it was Jesus' problem. It was Jesus' situation. It wasn't a problem at all, but it was Jesus' challenge right there. So he told him to walk on water, and he did. So you see, God's going to do it, not you. He's going to do it through you. So we need to recognize who is doing this thing here. And it's not you. It's not me. We're just a vessel. Okay? The next thing is, what does it do, fear? What does fear do to you? What really, does fear really hurt you? What does it do? Well, this is kind of a nutshell type thing. It keeps you from being who you are in Christ. It keeps you from doing the mission that God has called you to do, the plan he has for your life. And thirdly, it keeps you from receiving from him, from being who you are, from doing what you're to do and receiving from him. Fear will stop it. And fear is just really the foundation of being double-minded. And James said, let not a double-minded man think he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, fear brings you into double-mindedness because you're one side yes, the other side no. We walling back and forth, you see. And that's double-minded. I'm thinking no, then I'm thinking yes, then I'm thinking no. So this is what we have to recognize right here. So it keeps us from really moving at all. It just keeps us stationary and really useless. Next thing, fear brings torments to you. And a lot of times that fear would be like if the Lord asks you to do something, we say, speak of torments, and he said, I want you to start a church. We're just kind of keeping in the church things and spiritual things, even though it could be a secular job or whatever, anything he tells you to do. All right, say you started a church before and it didn't work out. It just was a failure, what you would think, okay? All right, the devil brings your mind, well, hey, look what happened to you before. You started a church and look what happened. You got messed up, everything went south on you. It didn't work, so man, this you're not going to do it again. You're not going to make it this time either. And you see, this is what torments is, because you're tormented by anything you failed on when God asks you to do something again. In other words, you fall off that horse the first time, you're afraid to get back on the horse the second time, like the old saying. But we have to recognize when God says to do something, no matter if you failed or were successful or what you were in the past, God has a plan for you. And if he has a plan for you, it's not going to fail. For it to fail would be for God to fail, as long as you're following God. The only time failure comes into your life is when you and I step out and try to do something ourselves. That's where the failure comes in. It's always on our part, the failure, never God's. When God has a plan, when God has a plan for you to do something, he plans for that to work out. He sees the success of it. He sees everything come into fruition the way he planned it. He doesn't look at you falling down. But sometimes we let him down when we don't do what we're supposed to do. So it brings torment. Fear brings torment to you, because that's how it's fear, really. That's fear of stepping out again to do something because of past failure. Okay, next thing is negative facts. Bad reports with your health, money, bad reports, relationships, job, negative facts that look bad, circumstances in your life, things that are bad that come your way. Negative facts bring fear to you. You think, oh, my heavens, the doctor said I have this or I have that or whatever it might be. Or maybe you look at your finances there and you're about to go bankrupt. Maybe things go wrong in the family. It could be 101 different things there. Negative reports, your life circumstances. So fear comes upon you. Fear comes upon you because it's over your head. You don't know what in the world to do about that. Well, first of all, the Bible tells us we're to cast our care upon him. Use his word find what the Word of God says about the situation. And then recognize with you it is impossible. There's things that you and I just can't see through. I face them now. I face many things. And anybody you talk to is serving God, is really serving God in any way, or facing things that's impossible at what they're facing. But one thing I've learned over the years is God is a God of the impossible. He's a God of the impossible, you see. And he's a God of the suddenly. So you have to say, hey, you're God. Your word says that, so I'm just simply trusting you with it. I cast it in your hands. I give it to you. It's all yours. And when you do that, then fear leaves you. But fear holds on to you until you release that problem to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, what happens is he takes over. But as long as you hold on to that and you don't believe him and you say, Lord, do this, and you keep worrying about it and hold it in your hands, God can't do anything. God will not and cannot do anything until you release it to him and let him have it and you don't try to take it back from him. Don't give it to him and then take it back. What you need to do is release it to him and let it there. And that's where that little word trust comes in, you see. Trust him. Trust him and obey him. Trust is a big word. And that's a word to me, and thinking about the word trust is simply, even if it's a length of time, trust him that this thing is going to work out. It might be a little lengthy process, but trust him it is going to work out for you. Because if you're committed to him, you believe him, it's got to work out, you see, because the word of God says it will. We have to come to that place that his word is either true or it isn't true. You have to come to the word of actually believing that word. There's so many people that mouth things out about what the word says. The word says this, the word says that, and they'll talk faith. When it comes to facing the problem right away, they cow down. Hey, we can preach, we can talk to one another about it, but that means absolutely nothing unless we're applying it in our own personal life. We must apply these things. We must stand on these things, because these are words of life. Okay, fear, as we said, keeps you from obeying the Holy Spirit. You'll be afraid to step out of your boat. It's comfortable where you're at. I don't want to step out of the boat. I'm comfortable, you might say. Or I'm stepping into foreign territory. I don't know anything about this. I don't know what in the world to do. Well, that's where trust comes in. And that's where God likes to take us many times. You ever notice that? God likes to take us to places that you and I just don't know, and it forces us to trust. But, you know, our natural person, our natural being, which he's supposed to be reckoned dead, doesn't want to have to trust anything or doesn't want to have to believe something that's not there. Our natural man wants to know from A to Z what it's all about. But God's not going to show you from A to Z what it's all about. Very rarely he'll show you anything like that. He wants to progressively lead you step by step that you will trust him for everything, because he's trying to get us all to trust him more. And be obedient, be more obedient unto him and listen to what he says, because he wants to lead us into things much greater than we've ever seen before. Okay, fear, as we said a minute ago too, it stops the faith in your life. You can't have fear in your life and faith at the same time. That's like saying I can have light and I can have darkness in my life. You can't. You can't have light and darkness in your life. It's either going to be light or it's going to be dark, one of the two. So where faith is, fear isn't. Where fear is, faith isn't. So you have to make up your mind. Am I going to believe God's word and I got to put it all on the line, stand that word and trust God and then let him show me what he'll do in my life? That's how you see God work in your life. When you trust him, then you'll see things happen. And you'll know that, hey, that was God that did that. There was no way. And I just believed him and I trusted him for it. And he did it. He healed me. He provided this for me. He provided that for me. He provided for me, you see. He made the way for me. He opened the door for me. He gave me divine favor. He made provisions. But he can't show you anything. He can't reveal himself to you unless you apply faith. And faith is a trust in him. Then he can do it, you see. But if you don't apply faith in something, what in the world, how could he show himself to you? He couldn't do anything in your life because you wouldn't be believing for anything. You wouldn't be claiming anything. You wouldn't be looking at him or trusting him for something. But he wants you to trust him and believe him and exercise your faith that he can reveal himself to you. That's what he's trying to do with all, is to reveal himself even in a greater way to every one of us. He wants to reveal himself in a greater way. And to those who dare to believe him this hour, He's going to do things beyond what has ever happened before. We're living in the greatest prophetical time that there ever was on this earth. This is the greatest time of God. It's the worst time of the devil and hell breaking loose, but the best time from God. You see, when we see all this thing happening in the world today, all these evil things happening, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God raised up a standard against him, and God is raising up a standard against Satan right now. A lot of times you're hearing the negativity in the news, you're seeing the negative things, and they would try to have you believe that everything's coming to an end. But I have news for you. God has a plan. This is all in the Word of God, and hey, guess what? I read the end of the book, and what happened? We win. We win, and we're going to win by a big score. God is ready to come on Main Street right now if we dare to let him in our lives on Main Street. God comes in on Main Street through us. God wants to reveal himself through us. And the only way he can do that is by faith. All right? It blinds you, putting you into a stationary mode. It surely does. When fear is there, we're stationary. We can't go with the left. We can't go to the right. We're stuck and we're miserable. And nothing will happen because when you're in a fear mode, God can't do anything for you. And that's a bad place to be, isn't it? So that's why we got to get this fear out of our lives, isn't it? Okay, the next thing, it can cause us to eventually give up, be destroyed, and even death. And that is the truth. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life, to give it more abundantly, it says in John 10:10, doesn't it? I've come to give you life, to give it more abundantly. But the devil's come to steal. He's trying to steal our faith. Kill, if he can kill us, he's trying to do that. And destroy us. He can destroy our testimony and everything about it. He's out to get us. But the thing is, he can't. He cannot do a thing. The only way the devil can do anything to us is if we allow him, because we're stronger than the devil is. Luke 10:19-20 tells us that he has given us power over the spirits and over evil forces. Luke 10:19-20. And in the name of Jesus, he must flee. In the name of Jesus, by the word of God, he must flee. That's Jesus. That isn't you making him. That's not me making him. That's God making him move. And they fear and tremble when they see the Lord. As you read the New Testament, you'll see how the devils feared and trembled and how they obeyed real quick. And that's what happens when you speak. If you have faith and you believe God, when you speak, they're going to tremble just like they did when Jesus spoke. We have that authority, folks. We have that authority. Okay, we saw what damage fear does. It can do many more things, you see, but the bottom line is that we don't allow it in our lives anymore. That's why I was impressed to say that before we even started meeting tonight, that God wants to deliver you from fear. It will never again override you and cause you to lose out with God, to hurt you. We can't stop fear attacking us, but we surely can stop it from landing on us. We can just get rid of it real quick by the word of God. Okay, how do we combat it? We talked about fear and we're not to have it and we're to walk strong in the Lord. Well, first of all, there's a scripture in Revelation 12:11. It says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, they overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know what that means? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did. He did that, you see. He's already done that. He did his part in this, right? Okay, by the word of our testimony. What is the word of our testimony? It's our confession. Our confession, what the Word of God says, our declaration of it, speaking it out vocally. This I'm speaking now. Just like if you have a physical ailment now, by his stripes I was healed. I'm not going to be healed, but I've been healed. He healed me 2,000 years ago. All I have to do is receive it, and it's mine, Lord. I have it. I have it. No matter what I'm feeling like, I have it now. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have it. I accept it. And then you stand on it long enough, then it'll become a reality to you. The thing that you desire, when you pray, believe that you've got them, no matter what you feel, what happens, or circumstances, and it says you will have in Mark 11:24. So we believe by faith. Faith tells me the manifestation will come if I stand by faith and believe it before I receive it in reality. You're believing before it becomes a reality. God spoke of things that aren't as though they were. I spoke the things that aren't as though they were, is what he said. He spoke his things before they were, and they became. And the same thing will work for you. That's just God's way of doing business. That's what he told you and I to do. That's his way for you and I to receive. So we have to do it God's way in order for this thing to work, don't we? Okay? Now, how do we combat it, as we said? That's the whole of it right there. Is that what I just said? The word of our testimony by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did. But know this, know that God gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, not fear. So this is something you have to know. God didn't give that to you, but he gave you power. He gave you love and a sound mind. He wants to make a giant out of you. He wants to make you a giant in Jesus. And you are a giant in Jesus. No matter what your calling is, if you believe his word and stand in his word, speak his word and believe him and use your faith, it don't matter what your calling is in life. All that matters is how much you and I believe the word and use the word. It isn't important what your calling is. What is important is how much of this word do we believe? How much are we putting it into practice? That's what makes a difference, folks. It isn't your calling or you went to college, you went this, you did this, you did that. No. What matters is you get in that word and you make it part of your life and you apply it and watch God work in your life and through your life. That's what this Christian faith is all about. It's a lifestyle. It's not a religion. It's a relationship and a lifestyle 24/7. Not a Sunday thing, not a Wednesday thing, not anything like that. It's a 24/7 thing, a 24/7 thing. Okay? Recognize. Now, we're talking about how do we combat it. We have to know who we are, and by our confession, we said the first two. Now, we recognize and deal with it immediately, and we said this a few minutes ago, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, that to the things that come our way, we have to, in our mind, we have to look at those things, and are they of God or are they of the devil? And then deal with them accordingly. If they're of God, you take them into your spirit. If they're of the devil, you cast them down. It said we are to cast down all imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought that you have. Everything that comes to your mind, you have to recognize where it is coming from and deal with it immediately. It's like a fly or a mosquito landing on your arm. Right away, if there's some fly or mosquito or bug got in your arm, you'd put your hand up there right away to hit it or shoo it away, wouldn't you? Well, that's the way we need to be with our mind, with the garbage sometimes that tries to enter into our mind to get us off track. We have to deal spiritually like we deal physically with the flies, with the mosquitoes. We have to slap it out. We got to get rid of it because it can do damage, just like a mosquito can do damage, or flies or something like that, or bees. We have to recognize that and deal with it accordingly. All right, know God's word. Well, Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. We have to get that word. Notice, it starts in the head, but it must get down to the heart. It all begins in the mind of the head, but then from there it progresses into the heart. So it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I won't sin against thee. We need to take it to heart, this word. This is words of life. Take it to heart. Live by it. Make decisions by what the Bible says, the word of God. He says, do that, and then it's going to work for you. It'll work. You see, you have to make your decisions by what does the word of God say about this. What am I to do? How am I to act in this situation? What am I to do, you see? And this is why it's so important that we study to show ourselves approved, isn't it? We have to know, because if we don't know the word of God, how in the world are we going to know what's coming to our mind, or how in the world are we going to know how to respond, you see? So we need to come to the place that we know God's word, hide it in our hearts, take it seriously. We put it, it's words of life to us. It's words of life and health to us, you see. So when we do this and we have it in our heart, right away when something comes at you, you'll come right out with the word and just knock that thing cold. Something that's, it's wrong, something's coming against you, because you'll know the word of God. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was tempted three times? Remember, he went in a 40-day fast before he started the ministry up there in the mountain. And he defeated what Adam and Eve messed up with in 1 John 3:2. He told us in his word that, remember, the lust of the flesh, the lust, Colossians 2:16. I quoted it wrong here. 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those three things are three temptations that Satan uses against us. They're the only things that we are applied to in our life. It's just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They were the three temptations of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve messed up with those. They failed them. So Jesus had those three temptations given him in the mountain there, and he defeated Satan by the word of God in every one of them. That's why we call Jesus many times a second Adam, because he defeated them. In 1 John 2:16 there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He defeated those things. So he made it possible with every temptation, anything that can come against you and I is under one of those headings. There isn't anything that can happen in this world that is under one of those headings that tempts us to sin, to do wrong. And Jesus overcame that. So since he overcame it, you and I can be overcomers, you see. So he made the way for us. So we have to recognize that. But he did it by the word, didn't he? He didn't talk back and forth to the devil. You're never to talk to him either. He used the word of God. He said, we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's what he did. He said nothing on his own. He quoted the scriptures to him, didn't he? And that's what you and I have to do. We deal with the devil by the word of God, not with our thoughts or intellect or try to have a conversation with him. You never do that because he'll beat you every time. Use the word of God because he can't possibly get into you from that. Okay? Find the scripture that deals with your problem when fear comes your way. Say you have a physical thing. We're just kind of naming some simple things here, but there could be many things that you're dealing with. But we use health. Well, by his stripes I've been healed. Or Psalms 107:20 said he sent his word to deliver us from our destruction, the things that are out to destroy us. But using the scriptures, what he says, that when the problem comes our way, and stand those scriptures is how we receive the promise, because those scriptures are promises. I was promised that by his stripes I was healed. I was promised that by his word, he sent his word to heal me, you see. I was promised that he told me that he paid that price. He paid that price for me. Healing is part of the children's bread. It's for us. Salvation is not just being born again, saved, getting ready to go to heaven. It's everything that's in the Bible, spirit, soul, and body. Healing from everything in our spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And therefore, God came to heal all those in the plan of salvation. Salvation is everything, is everything. The greatest part of salvation, of course, begins with being born again, going to heaven. That's the most important thing because the other things don't matter or don't amount to anything compared to your eternity. That's the most important thing that you and I have is our eternity. But while we're living this earth, God wanted to make plans for us here also because he knew what we were up against. And therefore, he made provisions for us. But it's up to you and I to take advantage of the provisions, right? And he showed us how to do it. And that's what we're talking about tonight a little bit. Okay, the next thing, cast all your cares upon Jesus and let them there. We're being a little repetitive here, repeating, but it needs to be said over and over because faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word, doesn't it? Well, what it is, in 1 Peter 5:7 tells me to cast my cares upon him. And when I cast them upon him, let them there and know that they are taken care of. It's a done deal. And all we do after that is say, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. And that's the key. That's really a key when you give something to the Lord. Know that it began spiritually, like your healing. When you trust him with that, you say, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed right now. I receive my healing, and I thank you, Father, by your word. I am healed. And accept it that he heard it. Accept that he wants you well, of course. And accept it that it began in the spirit world right there. As soon as you released your faith to Jesus right there, you cast that to him, whatever that need right there, you gave it to him. It began spiritually right there. Sometimes it'll manifest immediately, which is a miracle. That happens sometimes. Sometimes it might be a few hours later, might be a day, two, a week later, whatever. We don't know the time limit. We didn't set the time limit on it. But I'm telling you this, when you commit that, just consider it a done deal. And then just thank him. In other words, just you trust him. Just like you do those that go to a job, like say you go to your job, you get paid on Friday. Now, you went on Monday. Do you have doubts about being paid on Friday? Well, most places you don't. If you're working for a reliable place that they pay you, you're not even thinking about payday. It's a matter of when it comes. I mean, far as you're not thinking about payday in the sense that, oh, am I going to get paid or not? Well, you just going about your business, you work and everything, and you're counting on getting that pay. Well, that's the same with our faith in the Lord. You know, we count on it being done. It's going to manifest to you. So it's just a done a deal that you aren't concerned about going to work and am I going to get paid Friday? Am I going to get paid Friday? You don't think about it. Well, once you commit it to the Lord, you don't keep saying, well, oh, is it going to manifest? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? No, you have to say, hey, it's done. I thank you for it. I prayed you for it, Lord. I'm healed. That's it. I determined that. And the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And, you know, that's what this is about. As I quoted that to you, sometimes you have a battle like you're standing for a healing in your body. You accept this way I told you to do it, how to do it there, by the word of God. And sometimes it naturally is a battle, but hey, I'm standing, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed in spite of how I feel, what I look like, or what I'm sensing now in my body. By the stripes of Jesus, I am well, and that is it, and I will take nothing less than that. I'm fighting this thing. It does not belong to me. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, that sickness, that disease has no part in me. That fear has no part in me. Negativity has no part in me. Nothing of the devil has any part in me. I resist it and I cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ because my body is for God. It's God's body. He created my body. He owns my body. You have to have that type of an attitude. You have to have that type of a vigor. You can't be passive about it or nonchalant about it or wimpy about it. You have to be a fighter, you see. You need to fight those things. You need to resist those things. That's what we have to do. And when we do those things, we're not resisting God. We're resisting the devil that's trying to steal them from us, aren't we? We're resisting that devil. And when we do that, hey, he's not going to hold on very long. And some people might say, well, how long am I going to have to hold on for these things? Well, you hold on until you receive them. But I tell you, when you're that determined, you're believing God, and you know you've got it, and you just lay it aside, all of a sudden, bang, it's going to pop up in your life. And that's what's cool about it. You know, once you get it out of your mind, because when we start thinking about, keep thinking about things and holding on to them, nothing happens. But when you forget about them and you just go on about your way, you consider it a done deal and thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, that you healed me. I give you all the glory for this, Lord. I give you all the praise that I'm well, that I'm healed, my needs are met. I thank you, God. I trust you in all things. I'm your God. Just direct. You're my God, Lord. You're my God. And, Lord, I just trust you in everything that I do. I just trust you everything that I'm doing. And, Lord, I just want you to lead me because I'm seeking you first, and I know all these things will be added to me. I know everything will be added to me. I know you're taking care of me. So all I need to be concerned about is just following you and being obedient to you. When you have that type of an attitude towards the Lord and praise the Lord, and just give yourself to him and be his servant, allow him to use you in whatever way it is. When you do that, that's what pleases the Lord. That's how he blesses you and I. That's why I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added to us. But we need to be in that mindset, you see. And when we're in that mindset with God, you're going to find that fear is not going to have too much of a grip on you. Not to say that you won't ever be attacked with it or anything, but I'll say this. When you're walking in that attitude, that mindset, and that spiritual position there, there's not much room for darkness because you've got light around you. You're in that secret place of the Most High. And we have to do that all the time when things come at us. Always recognize that God's going to fight this battle. You can't do it. I can't do it. Maybe the doctors can't do it, and this one can't do it, that one can't do it. But with God, all things are possible, and we are believing God for the impossible. We are believing God for the impossible because that's what he wants us to do. He wants to show himself that way. But too many people are afraid to use their faith or don't use their faith. That's why he's not able to show up the impossible all the time. That's why a lot of things aren't happening to a lot of people because people just don't want to believe him and he can't do it. Unless sometimes he'll do sovereign things to show himself, but he wants to have an atmosphere of people. And that's what he's raising up in these last days, men and women that dare to believe him and cast fear down and dare to step out of that boat. Just like Peter did. Amen? Okay. Well, that's all I have on the message here tonight. But what I am going to do, I'm going to say a prayer right now because I know God wants to set you free from fear. This Lord showed me this tonight before this broadcast. I know that's what he wants to do. He wants people to get rid of their fear tonight. That's why I mentioned that earlier. And I'm going to pray a prayer over you. I'm going to pray a prayer over all of us because I could include myself in all that, too, because everything I said to you tonight, I said to myself, too. Because any time you preach, you have one finger pointed out to the people, and there's four fingers coming back at you. And it's for me just like it is for you. I mean, I don't care who's preaching or who it is. The only one that was perfect in what he did, there was no correction, nothing in him that needed corrected was Jesus Christ. But we all have our shortcomings, you say. But I'll tell you this, God is going to be raising some people up. Now, you're going to get rid of this fear tonight. So I want you just to accept. When I pray, I want you to receive what I'm saying into you, and I want you to get rid of it, and we're going to get it out of your life. And you're not just going to get it out of your life tonight, but you're going to be able to deal with this thing that you'll know how now to deal with it. You're not going to allow it to take over your life, and you're going to kick it out when it comes your way and it tries to tempt you in any way, shape, or form. You're not going to receive that because you're going to see what God's Word says. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word tonight, Father, that your word of truth, Father, this word for this season that we need it so much because, Father, we recognize there's much going on in the lives of people. There's much going on around us. It's escalating in many ways. But we recognize that your power is greater than all these forces of darkness that have come into this world, and greater than any force of darkness that's come in any of the lives of these people under my voice of hearing right now on this radio, Father, on this program. No matter how dark it's come into them, Father, we know that greater is you. You're above all these things. Your name is above anything that could come against any of us. So, Father, right now, we recognize that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but you gave us power. You gave us love, and you gave us a sound mind, Father. I declare out over the listeners right now that they have power. They have love and a sound mind. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast out fear from every listener that's listening to this broadcast right now, or anybody that's tuned to this right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast out spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, and I cast that evil spirit away from these people, each one of us now, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast all fear out of the people right now, in Jesus' name. I break the powers of fear and darkness in Jesus' name. I break the power of curses in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus overrides everything. It's negative and dark in any way. All satanic influence must leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask for miracles to fall upon those in this broadcast tonight, Father. I ask for miracles and to show yourself mighty in the lives of each one. And, Lord, for them to have a new start from this night forth. Let this night be a new beginning. Let this night be a new beginning for the lives of these people that have heard this, Father, that have received this in the name of Jesus. Let this be a beginning. A new beginning, a new life for them, Father, escalating them into greater levels of their personal lives and their ministries and what they're to do, what their calling is, that you will show them and you will direct them and you will use them. Now, I want you to repeat after me, everybody. God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but he gave me power. He gave me love and a sound mind. Say it again. God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but he gave me power. He gave me love and a sound mind. He didn't give me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I will not leave fear from this night forth have any domination over me. I will use faith. I will have faith in God's word from this night forth in the name of Jesus Christ. I will have faith in Jesus' word, the word of God to me right now. And I choose to follow you, Lord, from this night forth and believe you. And I ask you to forgive me for my many times showing fear and not following you and not listening to you and being disobedient, Lord, forgive me. Many times that I have failed you and done wrong. But I want to start on a new track, a new page tonight, Father, a faith page. And I want to just burn the fear page, everything, because I know you have forgiven me. And I thank you, and I forgive myself for doing what I did. But, Father, from this night forth, I'm going to walk in faith, and I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to walk out. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things to be added to me. So from this night, I just give myself to you and I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, and I receive everything that you have for me, everything that you have for me from this time forth. Give me my daily bread every day, Father. Just give me that daily bread you have for me in every way. And, Father, I just want to praise you and thank you what you did in my life tonight. And what you'll be doing tomorrow and what my life's going to be, because you tell me in Philippians 1:6, he that begun a good work in you will continue until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I thank you for continuing this work until I leave this earth. I thank you for continuing this good work in me till I leave this earth. In Jesus' name, And they all said, amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God, everybody. I enjoyed this tonight. I was blessed by this. And this is truly what God was saying, because I didn't rehearse any of these things. I didn't say anything I thought of here. These words come out of my mouth weren't mine, but they were what the Lord was speaking. So we'll all benefit from it. Amen. Okay, well, I just want to tell you all now to have a blessed week. I just speak a blessed week and just go with God, obey Him, use your faith in His Word. Don't allow fear ever again to dominate you in any way. And just watch what God's going to do in your life from this time forth that you started a new life tonight. Just watch what God will do in and through your life. In Jesus' name. Good night, everybody. You have a blessed week now.